Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which, by the way, is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and visit us, okay? And you'll be blessed. Come and visit us. 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California. Our services start 1:30 p.m. every Sunday, okay? All right, now call, text, or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can look for my posts on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. Just click on the link where you see the post of today's show. And for you to listen from your computer, just click on the link so you can listen from your computer, and you can click on that link today and all this week. Whenever you see it, just click on it, and you can hear the entire program again if you like. Okay. Also, tune in to The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila live Tuesday, June 28th. That's tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time. That'll be 5 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be on Facebook Live. So check your time zone and check it out. You'll be blessed, okay? You can also catch us. The Message of Life is also on hsbn.tv or YouTube, and you can click on that anytime this week and see today's program, okay? The program for tomorrow, okay? That's The Message of Life, all right? So get ready for it. Join us, and you will be blessed. All right, now let's go on and get right into our message for today. And remember, we're continuing with the details of the birth of Jesus. The angel had already appeared to Mary, had already told Mary that she was going to have a child, and all of that. You remember we talked about that the last time. And then he appeared to Zechariah, and Zechariah had a hard time believing this, right? Which is, I don't understand it, because what the angel told Mary was more impossible to do than what he told Zechariah. You see, Mary was going to have a baby without the assistance of a man, but Zechariah will come together with his wife and bring forth John the Baptist. Mary submitted to the will of the Lord, but Zechariah had to go through a humbling experience until his miracle would come to pass. Remember, the angel made it so that he couldn't speak for 9 months until John the Baptist was born, right? However, when John was born, the first thing that Zechariah did when he was able to speak was prophesy. Sometimes the reason that some of our miracles have not come to pass yet could be because we need a humbling experience like that of Zechariah so that we can come out of it with all with praise and worship, thanksgiving, and prophesying. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. After Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he was hurt. You probably could not imagine the pain that Joseph was going through. Think about it. Your fiance just got pregnant, and it's not your baby. According to Jewish tradition, being espoused to someone is the same as being married. You just haven't completed all of the ceremony. So Joseph was considered married to Mary. That's why this was such a big deal. The Bible doesn't go into detail, but I bet it was a lot of fussing going on. I bet Joseph wanted to know who got her pregnant. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This showed how much Joseph, a much older man, loved Mary, who was anywhere between 14 to 17 years old or so. When she gave birth to Jesus, she was somewhere around in there. 12 is actually the usual age in the old Jewish law for marriage when it came to young girls. Joseph could have made this public because according to the laws of Moses, she should have been stoned, even if she were 14 or 18 years of age. It didn't matter. As far as Joseph was concerned, or as far as what he could see, she broke one of the Ten Commandments, which states, thou shalt not commit adultery. If anyone has committed adultery, both the woman and the man should be stoned to death. But God justified Mary because Mary did not break God's law. She did not commit adultery or fornication. And although being 14 or to 17 years old or so, she was a virtuous woman, and God protected her. Unlike the many other women during Mary's time and even before Mary's time who had gotten pregnant by other men other than their husbands, who lied out of fear of being stoned and said that they were the virgin that was spoken of in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, which states as follows, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which of course means God with us. But, of course, these women were found to be liars. And here's one reason. Some of them had girls, but Mary was the real deal. She was really that virgin prophesied about in Isaiah. However, God had to confirm this to Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. "But while he, Joseph, thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Can you imagine how relieved he was and how he must have felt honored at the same time? Just knowing that God would choose his house and his wife for such a blessing as to be the stepfather to the Messiah, the Christ. Verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." He was called Jesus, which means Savior. And in Hebrew, he is Yeshua, meaning salvation. He was God, born into the world, manifested in the flesh. He was Yahweh on earth, Elohim, or God with us. God was among his people. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread, because Jesus is the bread of life that came down from heaven. He came down from heaven when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived. Now, Herod, let's talk about him a little bit. He was the Roman-appointed king of a small Jewish state in Judea. He was known as a madman. He murdered his own family and many rabbis. He was a Jew and known as Herod the Great because he was the greatest builder in Jewish history. He built Herod's temple. The wise men from the east, which were Persian men, believers of God, they were the descendants of the Magi who were taught by Daniel over 500 years before. Remember, we talked about that. Over 500 years before, they came to Jerusalem to worship the real King of the Jews, Jesus Christ, because they saw his star just as Daniel had taught their forefathers. They were not on camels. They were not on camels. They were on Persian horses, and they traveled 1,000 miles, and it was more than just three of them. It was a host of magi traveling to see the Messiah. Herod was troubled about this because he would do anything to keep his title as king. And now there are men from the east here at Jerusalem to worship another king? He wouldn't have it. Verse 4 through 6. when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people, talking about Herod, he had gathered all them together, he commanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the prophets of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. These were the priests and the scribes, people who knew the laws and the prophets, and taught and read them in the synagogues every Sabbath. So after conferring with them, Herod privately held a meeting with the wise men as well, and diligently asked them what time the star appeared. And from knowing the time the star appeared, he could estimate how old the child would be by now. He sent them to Bethlehem to search diligently for the child. He told them to find the baby and give him word so that he himself could come and worship him also. You see how deceitful Herod was? This man was possessed by Satan. He had no intentions of worshiping the Lord. He wanted to kill baby Jesus. But the wise men didn't know that at first. So they departed to Bethlehem, and the star continued to guide them until the star stood right over the house where the baby Jesus was. Now, some theologians have said that this was an angel, not a star. Some say it was a supernova. Some say dancing planets or a comet. However, scripture says it was a star. This star was translated in Greek, and the Greek name for star is Phosphorus, which means burning bright. Well, no matter what, if it were planets, a comet, an angel, or a star, it was orchestrated by God himself. And God had that star to lead the wise men and go ahead of them and actually stand over the house where baby Jesus was living. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, Jesus was 2 years old at this time, so they never saw Jesus in a manger, as tradition tells us. But they saw Jesus as a little toddler in a house, as the scripture states. The Magi fell down and worshiped him. There was reasons that they bought with them frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Once again, these were gifts befitting a king in the ancient world. Gold, as a precious metal, it represented the nature of God and his kingship. Frankincense as perfume or incense, which represented the sweet-smelling savor of Jesus Christ as our sacrificial lamb into the nostrils of God, which also typified his priestly role. And myrrh as anointing oil, which confirmed the fact that he is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, and actually prophesying his death and embalming. Remember the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus with perfume for his burial, and his body being anointed and prepared with spice after his death. This all pointed to the office, the work, and the sufferings of Jesus Christ. An angel of the Lord told Joseph, Mary's husband, to leave Bethlehem because Herod was seeking to kill the baby Jesus. And Joseph obeyed and went to Egypt, fulfilling scripture that the Lord said, out of Egypt have I called my son. The Lord warned the wise men in a dream that they should not return to Herod. So they went back to their own country another way. Herod was very angry at the wise men, so he ordered his soldiers to kill every child 2 years old and under in the city of Bethlehem and in all the coast roundabout. This was the way Satan worked. He worked through Pharaoh. When he had Pharaoh to order his men to kill all the babies, all the male babies of the children of Israel during the time of Moses, when Moses was a baby, but Moses was delivered just as Jesus was. Satan is still trying to kill babies today in search of the sons of God. With drive-by shootings, drugs, abortions, and demon-possessed people who beat and murder children. Satan wants to destroy all Christians just to be sure that he is destroying the sons of God, but he will not succeed, for the sons of God shall be delivered just as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was delivered. Now we understand that there were and are, even today, many Christians who are and will suffer persecution for the glory of God. We must understand that their reward is great in heaven. Their suffering is not in vain. Even today, it's happening all over the world. People suffering for the glory of God, going through heavy persecution. Their suffering is not in vain. Their reward is great. The Lord really led Joseph because the Lord knew he could trust that Joseph would always obey him. He would always obey. And he did. God had to put his faith in Joseph, in his angels, and in his prophets. God is moved by faith also, just like he has faith that we will finish the course that he has placed us on in this hour. There was a lot of activity going on during the time of Jesus' birth. The angel Gabriel appeared before Zechariah and Mary with a prophecy. Gabriel appeared before both of them at different times, of course, but he appeared before them with prophecy. Joseph was instructed by an angel in a dream, and an angel appeared before shepherds in a field at night, and the host of heaven appearing after the angel spoke with the shepherds and began to praise God. The sound of the praise of angels was so powerful that they were flying and rolling over the mountains in a great light that would light up the sky as though it was daylight, and then start going up and down the mountains as the angels praised God. It was a great sight. And many people came out of their houses to see what this was, what's going on. The sound of the angels would start low and rise to a high forte as the angels and the bright light would roll up and down the mountains all around them. The Holy Spirit was moving strongly during that time. He even anointed John the Baptist while he was in his mother's womb. He anointed Elizabeth so that she was able to have a child in her old age. And the Holy Spirit gave her knowledge to know that Mary was pregnant before Mary had a chance to tell her. Elizabeth knew she was pregnant before Mary opened her mouth and told her. And Elizabeth also prophesied. The Holy Spirit fell upon Mary, and she miraculously brought forth the Son of God. The Holy Spirit told Simeon, an old man, that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And Simeon prophesied to Mary and Joseph concerning the child Jesus. And right at that moment, Anna, the prophetess, also came in at the same time and gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all that wanted redemption in Jerusalem. There shall be lots of activity in this hour. Watch. Open your eyes. Pay attention. There shall be a lot of activity in this hour, and it has already started. We are going to see more of angels moving and appearing, Christians binding demons and talking to thousands of people, prophets prophesying even more, and signs in the heavens, and most importantly, we will see and feel the Holy Spirit moving all over the world. You will see anointed Christians who are the sons of God being unveiled in order to unveil the Son of God for the glory of God. It shall be a great and terrible day, a day of miracles, signs, and wonders, of healings and deliverance, and we, God's true believers, anointed Christian people, will perform these things to show the world that God is real. We will show proof that we are the sons of God, and we will bring many into the kingdom realm with us for the glory of God and in the name and under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, I went into prophecy. Okay, now let's continue. Jesus at the age of 12 years old. You see, the life of Jesus was hid from the age of 2 until he was 12 years old. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and was left behind in Jerusalem in the temple talking with the rulers or doctors of the law? The law of Moses was actually called the Torah. Torah means instructions or directions pertaining to God's laws and commandments in the Old Testament. The Old Testament patriarchs were to live by the Torah, women and children included. The rulers and doctors of the Torah were amazed at the understanding of Jesus and his answers. Remember, he was just 12 years old. We talk about this, you know, we did talk about this a little bit earlier, a few weeks ago. It was written when Jesus was still a baby that he grew and waxed strong in spirit, Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As Jesus grew, his faith grew. Jesus, as a child, had to learn to live and walk by faith so that by the time he entered into his priesthood, he was walking in the full faith of God. The priesthood of Jesus is a supernatural priesthood. And we're about to talk about this priesthood briefly. We'll talk about the priesthood of Jesus, which is called the Melchizedek priesthood, which is also our priesthood. Jesus has made us after this order, the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, it is important for us to know what this priesthood truly is. This is a priesthood like no other. It is very, very powerful. It is the Melchizedek order. And the purpose of this Melchizedek priesthood is to bring the people closer to God. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. The Lord was hid again until the age of 30, which was the age that young Levites started their work as priests. Jesus followed the pattern for priesthood that was laid out in the Torah, but Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi, nor was he of the Leviticus priesthood. Jesus was of the Melchizedek order. This is a priesthood that allows you to be both priest and king with no beginning of days and no end of life. You are a priest forever. The order of Melchizedek is mentioned in the Bible 7 times. What is meant by the term the order of? An order is a group of people an organization where you follow a code of conduct. With every order, there is always a founder, and the founder creates the order. The Melchizedek priesthood is the great high priest of the Melchizedek order. The Melchizedek order is a group of people called to be kings and priests by the will of God. They are after the order of Jesus Christ, which is after the order of God. They are to be established, nurtured, and trained and instructed to become kingly priests. This Melchizedek priesthood is a very mysterious priesthood. There are no other priesthoods on earth as powerful as the Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, or spiritually speaking, the king of peace. Some say that he was Shem, you know, the son of Noah, but the Melchizedek priesthood was after the order of the Son of God, and Jesus lives forever. Shem didn't. It is not written in the Bible that Shem was a priest at all. However, he could have been considered a holy man because he lived through the flood and saw the world before the flood, but it was Melchizedek who blessed Abraham, not Shem. Many believe that this was a manifestation of God in the flesh that appeared to Abraham and blessed him. They believe that Melchizedek was a manifestation of God in the flesh, and he blessed Abraham. Genesis 14, verses 18 and 20, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Nothing was said about Melchizedek in the Bible before this verse. And then you didn't hear about Melchizedek until the book of Psalms. And again, when the writer of the book of Hebrews spoke or wrote about him. Just as mysterious as Melchizedek appeared in Scripture, he seemed to have disappeared just as mysteriously. There was no record of his past as other patriarchs in the Bible. So why did Abraham give him tithes of all? And this continues today with both Christians and Jews as we give to the Lord. I believe that Melchizedek was a manifestation of God in the flesh. And many hundreds of years later, you have Jesus Christ, who was after the order of Melchizedek or of the Melchizedek order, blessing Abraham's seed. This is thousands of years later. Just as Melchizedek blessed Abraham, here we have Jesus of the same order blessing Abraham's seed, feeding them bread and wine, just like Melchizedek did with Abraham. Another manifestation of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And now we are to give him, the Lord, tithes of all. Okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let's go back a little. Jesus did what was required. He had to be baptized just as a priest would. But the baptism of Jesus was even different from the baptism of the Levites, the scribes and Pharisees, which all the Jewish people or Israel participated in. That's why the people knew to go to John and be baptized. John baptized the people according to the Old Testament Leviticus practice of baptism. Therefore, all the people were familiar with that form of baptism. But when John baptized Jesus, it was a totally different baptism. The baptism of Jesus was a baptism into the Melchizedek priest priesthood. This baptism was followed by the anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power, which is the new birth baptism. There was no Holy Spirit that followed John's baptism until he baptized Jesus, because it was Jesus who would baptize with Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus introduced a whole new order of priesthood that all of his true believers are to partake of today. We are all to be a part of that priesthood. This Melchizedek priesthood is a supernatural priesthood, unlike the Levitical priesthood, which was a type that actually pointed to the true Melchizedek priesthood in their service and in their dress. They pointed to the Melchizedek order. The clothing of the Levites and their service was actually a type of the ministry and the holiness and the glory of Jesus Christ. It was a type of Jesus Christ and his church. It wasn't the real thing, only a type. But the Melchizedek priesthood is the real deal. The Levitical priesthood only showed us a picture of the true Melchizedek priesthood of Jesus Christ. Although they were not of this order, God used them as a picture or as a type of those for whom this order is given for us. This Melchizedek priesthood is a priesthood of miracles, signs, and wonders. It is a ministry of love, and that's what Jesus did. Jesus showed signs and wonders and miracles. He met the needs of the people. He unveiled the love of God before the people. Jesus is our mediator who stands between man and God and prays for us and minister to us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And now, in this hour, in our time, today, Jesus is going to send his church, his Melchizedek priesthood church, which are true, powerful, Holy Spirit-filled Christian people who are after this order. As Paul states in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, he said, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And we are going out into all the world to do the same works as Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He spoke those words way back then, and he is speaking those words to us today. We just have to learn to do this in the name of Jesus. We do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, and not look for money or the praises of men. We're not looking for riches or political and religious power, and not in order for us to be lifted up. That is sin. If we do that, it's sin. It is called idolatry. The job of the Levitical priest was to offer sacrifices for the people before the living God. But Jesus, as our high priest, became our sacrifice. He became sin and died for us, and then rose again from the dead. And now he is our great high priest, the mediator between God and man. He died so that we might live, and now he lives. And because he lives, we live. When the Lord gave his life for us, he gave us so much that we can't even comprehend the blessings given to us because of Jesus Christ. He is our high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm chapter 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And now he has made us priests after that same order, the order of Melchizedek, which is in reality after the order of God. This order was ordained for us before the foundation of the world. It was an order given, it was given to Adam in the beginning. Adam was to be a priest and king after the order of God on earth. He was given dominion over the earth and all that was in the earth. But when he fell, he lost that kingship, priesthood, that dominion. Then the Lord passed this priesthood to Israel with a condition. Exodus 19, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. This was the call of Adam that God extended to Israel. The condition was, if you obey me. But Israel rejected the Messiah, the one giving them this priesthood. Therefore, it is now being extended to us, Christians, which are a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. They are the true believers, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, we are called a royal priesthood. That's what we are. We are a royal priesthood chosen by God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The priesthood that Peter is referring to is the Melchizedek priesthood. Revelation 5:10 also speaks of us being kings and priests. Revelation 5:10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He, Jesus, has made us kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek. This was a work that was already done for us. That is why the scripture says, and has made us, past tense, he has made us kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek. Praise God, praise God. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Here's Kimberly Burns.
I sing to you, my Savior. I live my
Praise the Lord. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Mar McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, inviting all of you to come visit us, come worship with us at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California. And our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So tell your friends and people that are out in this area where we are in, out in the Inland Empire area, come and worship us, worship with us, sorry, worship with us, okay? Here's the scriptures for this week. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Exodus 19, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. And Revelation 5:10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just a quick reminder, I want you guys to remember to turn on Facebook. Go to Facebook tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific time, which will be 5 p.m. Eastern, and I would say it would be 4 p.m. Central. Okay, so 2 p.m. right now, it'll be 2 p.m. Pacific and Mountain, okay? And then 4 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. on Eastern. So tune us up. We're live on Facebook. It's the Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila. And then you can check us out on YouTube or hsbn.tv all this week. You can even see some of our past shows on the Message of Life on YouTube. So just go ahead and do that and be blessed, okay? And also remember, we have Christian Talk on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. So you might want to check us out. And the number to dial in is the same number that you dial in for UCA Radio. It's 646-668-8537, or just click on the wherever you see the post, click on the link or the picture, and listen from your computer. So all of that, just wanted to let you know about that. And thank you for joining us today and being with us. It's just a privilege to bring God's word, and we just pray that all of you are being blessed. Be sure to tell your friends and family members to tune in to UCA Radio every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern. So tell your friends to tune in for a good message and some music, okay? Okay, don't go away. We will be right back.
Lord, when I thought I was something in my eyes, never did I come to realize, no matter what to strive for in your present or your past, only what you do for Christ will last.
Word on me.
when I think of all the things you've done for me. The way you changed my life, it's plain to see. Lord, you took upon your life all the sins of the world by dying on the cross at Calvary.
Thank you, everybody, for listening in to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. It's been my pleasure to bring the word to you and to play music for you. So tune in with us next week. We will be here, same time, same station, okay? God bless you all. Until then, here's Howard Hewitt. Amen.
Goodbye for now. We'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. Loud.
gave me your love.